Catholic Radio Indy now presents Faith in Action, a program that looks at how everyday people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Our program is underwritten in part by Franciscan St. Francis Health, providing faith-based integrated health care, a recipient of HealthGrade's 2015 America's 100 Best Hospitals Award, and by Marian University, a great Catholic university dedicated to providing students with excellence in teaching and learning in the Franciscan and liberal arts tradition, preparing transformative leaders for service to the world. And now, here's today's edition of Faith in Action.
Welcome once again to Faith in Action. I'm Kent Blanford. In the studio with me, the familiar voice of MJ Crowder.
Kent Blanford. We have a big event coming up shortly.
We do. We have the annual Catholic Radio Indy Dinner.
We do. It's less than right at a month away, as a matter of fact.
Just about.
The invitations are going in the mail, I think, right now. I know they were putting them together last week, September 12th, Tuesday, September 12th.
And remember, you don't have to get an invitation to come. All you need to do, pick up your phone, dial 317-870-8400. Patty will be more than happy to give you all the information about the dinner.
Fine.
Or you can go to our website, catholicradioindy.org. I got something to share with you today. Today we're talking about vocation stories.
Yes.
Do you remember a little over a year ago, we had a young lady in
here. Redheads. Couldn't stop smiling. Smiling the whole time, I remember.
Laura Zetzel.
Yes.
Laura Zetzel is professing her first vows today.
Oh, God bless
her. With the Sisters of Life in New York.
Sisters of Life, oh yeah.
She is now Sister Lucia Christi.
Okay, well, and along those lines, we have two guests with us today. We have Father Joe Moriarty. He's the rector of Bishop Simon Brute Seminary. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you. Delighted to be with you.
And he brought with him a seminarian, Owen Duckett. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You know, it is, we loved your predecessor. Father Bob Robeson.
Wonderful man.
Oh, my goodness. Wonderful man. He would come here 2 to 3 times a year. Sometimes he would bring a seminarian or two. Sometime he would just come and chat about things that were going on. Big, huge supporter of Catholic Radio, and we just loved him. We loved him. We've enjoyed watching his journey, and as a matter of fact, it was really because of him. I saw some pictures on Facebook, and he'd made a trip over the summer, taken a whole bunch of seminarians, and I thought, it's time. It is well past time to have Father, the new rector. So, welcome. I'm so glad you're
here.
Thank
you. Thank you for having me.
You know, I thought maybe we could start out a little bit with, because we love hearing stories. Everybody loves a story. If we could hear a little bit about your vocation story, Father Joe, and maybe at the tail end, kind of weave in how your journey to Simon Brute Seminary.
Thank you. Thank you. I love to tell my vocation story. You might have to shut me down.
We got plenty of time. Take all the time you need.
I am a local boy. I grew up on the east side of Indianapolis in Little Flower Parish. I'm the last of my parents' 9 children.
Oh, God bless them.
My father was an immigrant from County Kerry, Ireland, who immigrated to the United States in 1948. My father came to this country and was sailing the Great Lakes on the iron ore ships, and he had a hernia operation. My mother, having been born and raised Catholic in Conneaut, Ohio, was a nurse at Brown Memorial Hospital. And she was the nurse who cared for my father.
Oh my.
I share this story because much of my vocation, I believe, was conceived in their marriage, and how I saw throughout 59 years of their marriage together, they're choosing one another and God over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. In fact, when Mom and Dad met, my father was in the hospital for about 2 weeks. And on the Sunday between the 2 weeks, he got a furlough. And my mother went and said to him, "Would you come to my house for dinner?" She knew he was an immigrant. She knew he didn't have family in this country. And he said, "Not before I go to the Holy Mass."
Oh, my goodness.
So the two of them went to Mass, St. Mary's, Conneaut, Ohio. And when we were little children, I was always fascinated. I'd say, "Mom, when did you know?" And she would say, "I knew after communion. As I knelt there next to him, I didn't know how, but I knew that God was doing something in my life. And it's fascinating because she had another boyfriend at the time who eventually she would break up with to be with my father. And I really believe that she was listening for what God wanted her to do. And obviously she found that in my father. They were married 59 years to my mother's death. And I see my vocation conceived in that, because throughout our life, faith was very central at Little Flower Grade School, Cecina High School. Faith was very central. And my parents modeled, not perfectly, but they modeled holiness in choosing to give themselves again in marriage and give themselves again in the covenant that they made before God.
Sure.
And I said at my first Mass, I said, if I can be as successful in priesthood, not perfect, but successful, faithful, as they've been in marriage, I would consider that a job well done. So I grew up in that environment. I went right out of Cecina High School in 1985 to St. Meinrad College Seminary, where I graduated in 1989 with a degree in English and went immediately on to St. Mary of the Lake Mundelein Seminary in Chicago. I graduated from there and was ordained a priest for this diocese, Archdiocese of Indianapolis, on June the 5th, 1993.
So it's interesting, if you're just now tuning in, listeners, we're chatting with Father Joe Moriarty. He's the rector of Bishop Simon Brute Seminary here in Indianapolis. You say very seamlessly, you know, went to high school and then went into the seminary. And it seems very natural. I mean, the weaving of your parents' love story and commitment and covenant that they kept, and the beautiful 9 children that they had. And you're at the tail end.
That's correct.
Yeah, and the vocation comes. No other vocations in the family? No
religious vocations in the family. Mm-hmm. Mostly service vocations.
Yeah.
A sister that's a nurse and a brother that's a firefighter. So service vocations. And Mom and Dad modeled that. Again, she was a nurse. He was an Indianapolis firefighter eventually. And as a child, I thought about being a firefighter like my father, or a teacher, school teacher, or a priest. Priesthood is the one that constantly came back to me. It didn't grab hold of me and consume me forever, but it would come back again. And even when I went on to college, I thought, well, if I get a degree in English, I can still be a firefighter or a teacher.
Sure.
But as I went through 4 years and ended up in my senior year at College Seminary, it never left me.
And there it was.
The idea to be a priest. And so I sometimes explain to little kids, to offer an image, kind of like when you're washing the car and you have sponges in there. That one kept coming to the top. Priesthood kept floating to the top. And I opened my heart to God in that, and God led me, I believe.
You know, the inclinations of the Holy Spirit and your guardian angel. How
amazing.
How wonderful that you're open to that. You know, we also have Owen Duckett. And Owen Duckett is a seminarian at Bishop Simon Brute Seminary. And I wonder... You're a little bit younger. You're a junior.
That's correct, yes.
And so you are just beginning. I mean, it's wonderful beginnings, the story of wonderful beginnings. I wonder if you could share with our listeners a little bit about your journey.
Sure. Yeah, I'd be happy to. Much like Father Moriarty, I think I was influenced by my family. My parents were divorced, and I really... was always appreciative of the role of my stepdad and my brother, not to take anything away from my father, but in exemplifying what it meant to be not just an authentic man, but an authentic Christian man. When I was in grade school, my family made the decision to have my brother and I, at the time, go to public middle school, and at the time, I didn't really think anything of it. It's just switching schools. But the whole time, I felt like there was something a little bit missing. We were still going to Mass each week, but I no longer had the catechesis. But my brother, as I said before, stepped in and started to model that, you know, the faith is something that you can take outside of the classroom. The faith is something that you can take outside of just Mass on Sunday. And his interest, at least at the time, in being a priest, which carried on into his high school days, served for me as an example of something really peculiar, I thought, at the time. Okay, that someone, given that we had a pretty simple upbringing, would be interested in a vocation such as that. You know, I always imagined him as the first child, of being the one to want to bring the grandchildren or the family first, those sorts of things. So my family then decided that my brother and I, and following after me, my sister, would go to Cardinal Ritter High School, which is where I spent 3.5 years of my high school career. And that's when my vocation really started to come to fruition. Thanks again in part to not only my brother and his continued example for me, but the education that I had there. And it was about my sophomore year in high school that, not really deciding on anything else. That's about the point in high school when the teachers start throwing around words like college and application and things like that. I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do, but I knew that I was attracted to two things. One was theology class, and the second was serving Mass each week. My family switched parishes during that time as well, so a lot of transitions. And moving from St. Malachy on the west side to Holy Rosary, I was able to become a little bit more involved in the parish life. And so those two influences, again, the curriculum, the theology class, and starting to be more involved in serving Mass, really sparked my interest in the life of the priest. Skipping forward a couple years, I had abandoned by my senior year the idea of seminary, deciding to carry on a relationship from my senior year to high school into college, and vowing basically not to bring up the idea of seminary again.
Well, it's difficult when you have a girlfriend, right? To talk about seminary in the background.
It is. Those two things don't work out. But all along, and here's where this idea you brought up earlier about Father Syberg, God doesn't just let it go that easily, you know. And he didn't let me get off that easily, okay? And the one thing that I think got me here, other than God's grace, of course, was the fact that all along, despite the poor decisions I might have made at times in high school and coming out of high school, my freshman year in college, which I spent at Marian University outside of the seminary, I always came back to prayer. I don't know why, but I always came back to prayer. And despite, again, I mean, it would be the middle of the night, you know, just made, you know, an awful decision or whatever, you know, but I would always come back to prayer for some reason, because of the habits that I picked up from my parents, and seeing my brother not only pray, but live it out in that authentic way. And so that was eventually, I think, what got the spark reignited my freshman year of college towards the end. I had ended the relationship that I came out of high school with and was in a new relationship. And I made the choice that this can wait no longer. I need to at least give seminary its fair shot, the shot that I haven't given it before. And with some gentle encouragement, we'll say, from my pastor, I decided to reapply to seminary. And it has been since the best decision that I've made, thanks to Father Moriarty and the staff. The formation is incredible, and the growth that I've seen in myself is just phenomenal.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Listeners, if you're just now tuning in, we're chatting with Father Joe Moriarty, rector of Bishop Simon Brute Seminary, and Owen Duckett, who is a seminarian. We need to take a break, and we'll be right back.
People that just need to hear the truth of God, that need to hear the Jesus message. It has really impacted me. It's what I needed to hear right now.
Catholic Radio Indy.
An interview with Brother Trenton Rout and how Catholic radio influenced his vocation.
I was not struck by lightning and knocked off my horse. I had a lot of time driving in the car listening to the radio, and I just gotten to a point where I would prefer to listen to something that would be intellectually stimulating. At the same time, I was learning about the faith, having that accessible, particularly the apologetics.
Catholic Radio, building faith, building vocations. Did you miss something in this show or just want to hear it again? Podcasts of this and all our other great local programs are available 24/7 at CatholicRadioIndy.org.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. Our guest today, Father Joe Moriarty. He's the rector of Bishop Simon Brute Seminary, and he brought a seminarian with him who is a junior, Owen Duckett. You know, I love hearing vocation stories. I think our listeners do too, because so many times I think the misconception is that if you enter the seminary or if you're a priest, you had these holy, holy, holy foundation and you were saying the rosary every night on your knees and your family prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed for a vocation from the family. And you know, life happens amidst all of that, and that's not necessarily where vocations come from. Father, tell us a little bit about that.
Life indeed happens. I can certainly tell you that, being the youngest of nine children growing up with one bathroom.
Oh, yes. Oh, we are so spoiled. We are so spoiled nowadays, are we not?
There were two girls and seven boys, so the girls, hats off to the girls for putting up with us boys. Indeed, you're right. And I think, as Owen had previously indicated, through the life of prayer of his parents, we see that. One very formational event in my life was as my family would pray, and every night the prayer was dictated by my bedtime, being the youngest. So about 7 o'clock, Mom and Dad would turn off the TV. We didn't have mute then, back then. Turn off the TV, and everyone would come into their bedroom. And when I say everyone, I mean the Catholic kids, the Protestant kids that were staying all night, whoever we were relating to. Everyone came in, and we knelt around Mom and Dad's bed. And we said, "In Our Father, a Hail Mary, and a Glory Be." And Dad would do what I call the Irish litany. He would say, "God bless Dernie, Mary, Mike, Pat, John, Brian, Teresa, Tom, and Joe. Glory be to the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Now be gone with you." And so I'd get off and go to bed. But that foundation of prayer was always there. And even in my own life, when things were difficult and I thought, "Well, God, are you really calling me to this vocation?" I came back to that notion of prayer. This is what we try to instill in the seminary through the fields of formation. Whenever we talk about seminary, we talk about four fields of formation. Obviously, the spiritual, the life of prayer, as well the academic. Marion University partners with us on that, although the seminary is owned by the Archdiocese. The academic or the intellectual formation is done there at Marion. Human formation, and this is what I believe you were alluding to in the tuffles, the good times and the bad times families will have. Hopefully parents, through catechism, through faith, will teach their child, okay, if they've had a fight or they disagree, here's how to handle this in a Christian way, in a Catholic way that says, you know, God is the source of all goodness.
Amen.
And finally, the final would be pastoral formation. And there at Simon Brute, men get into that in their final years, junior year and senior year. They go out on their own for an individual parish assignment. But I think it's important to say those are the fields of formation we try to work on in students. But I do think it's important to say coming to seminary, making the decision to come to seminary, does not mean one will be a priest, particularly at the college level. One could come and work in all those fields of formation, and hopefully, in a matter of fact, I often say, I guarantee, he'll leave a better man and a better individual. If he becomes a husband, he'll be a better husband for that time spent in seminary. And so we receive, as they come, as freshmen or if they transfer in, we receive them at any level that they are, and of course, they're coming from the world, so they're not perfect. None of us are perfect. So we try to receive what is sent to us by the vocation directors, inform them. We're not about the task of manipulating the will of God. We are always about the task of facilitating the will of God, to facilitate what God desires them to do.
So what I'm hearing you saying is there's an openness on both sides, not only on the rector's side being open to the possibility that maybe the young man who has come through the doors may not fully have a vocation, and the openness to the possibility that the young man coming through the door will in fact become a priest and take his final vows. But as you said, you kind of intimated, just because you come into the seminary does not mean that you've signed on the dotted line and signed away your life, and you're 2 feet in and you're never getting out. The discernment process continues.
Yes, and hopefully the discernment process, continues in that particular way, looking at those four fields of formation. Owen, who I brought with me here today, would have a regular spiritual direction session, the spiritual pillar. He would have a regular formation session, the human formation pillar. Obviously, he regularly goes to class, the intellectual portion. And this year, in particular, he will begin an individual ministry assignment where he begins to be among the people of God and say, well, how do I like this? Is this a continuation of what I believe this call is God has placed in me? Anywhere along there, were he to say, well, I thought I felt called, I'm feeling that in a different way, and I'd like some time off, that's a complete openness because we're facilitating the will of God.
Sure.
At the same time, as he's indicated, in his year in seminary, his vocation, his call has only strengthened through those fields. And we try to facilitate that. We try to help him in any way we can.
We're chatting with Owen Duckett, who is a junior in the seminary, Simon Bishop Simon Brute Seminary. Tell us a little bit about what the daily life of a seminarian consists of. We heard that Marian College, you go to classes at Marian College, but beyond that, is this a September to May commitment? Are you off for the summers? Can you live at home? Is it a 365, 24/7 commitment? Tell us a little bit about what your daily life and what it looks like.
Sure. You know, it's not unlike the daily life of an average college student. We go to class each morning. We still have homework to do and these things in the evening. So in terms of our schedule throughout the year, it follows the same schedule academically that Marian University has. We're still filling out the same applications they are for housing and these things and for meal plans. So that aspect at least is pretty similar to a typical person my age, we'll just say. However, living at the seminary, which is just down the road from Marian University, we also get the joy, really, and all the good times that Father Joe can certainly attest to of living in community life. You know, it's life with 50 something other guys, and so a typical day in that starts with morning prayer and mass. Okay. And I think that sets the tone right for the rest of the day, because we always want to start there and we want to come back to prayer. And we do that later on with, you know, communal night prayer, typically throughout the week. After mass, it's your time to grab breakfast. If you have an 8 a.m. class, then it's a little bit quicker than other people, maybe just a granola bar or something, and you're on your way. Classes typically will run from 8 in the morning or perhaps later if you're lucky.
Things don't change.
Yeah. Around 3 o'clock, I'd say, in the afternoon. So most of our time is spent on campus. You're not in class the entire time, obviously. So you're interacting with other students. You're in the library doing homework. That's where I spend a lot of my time. And in the afternoon, in the evening, we come back together then, typically for evening prayer as a community. Most days, actually each day, I think, except for Saturday, there's an opportunity for a holy hour, mm-hmm. Whether that's in the afternoon on some days or later on in the evening, the later evening. So there's always time for prayer in the evening. That's when you go and you grab your dinner and do homework. The day-to-day structure, again, is very, very much like a typical college student. It's just with the addition of community life. Yeah.
You know, Father Joe Moriarty is joining us today for Faith in Action. He's the rector of Bishop Simon Brute Seminary. We've talked a little bit about their vocation stories, a little bit about what the life of a seminarian looks like. And, you know, we have a couple minutes left. I would like to squeeze in a couple things. What does the recruitment process look like? Are you still visiting grade schools, high schools, things like that? What does that look like anymore?
The recruitment process for us generally deals with those who are from the 10 dioceses that send to Simon Brute College Seminary, and their vocation director sending us the young men. We call it a college visit, where in their senior year of high school, they might forfeit a Friday of classes because they're allowed a few college visits, and come on Thursday night, stay with us till Sunday afternoon, to really get a flavor and a sense of the seminary. I rely on the vocation directors from those individual dioceses. Now, that being said, our own diocese here, the Archdiocese of Indianapolis, many efforts by Father Eric Augenstein, wonderful man, our vocation director, who goes out to the grade schools, the high schools, wherever he's asked, to promote and to talk about vocations to religious life and priesthood.
Sure. You know, we're just about out of time. We really just have a little more than time for a prayer. But is there a closing, something you'd like to close with or offer our listeners, maybe an encouragement for someone who might be considering a vocation or the seminary?
Sure. I say don't let your fears or expectations of what you think seminary might be based on, you know, what people might call the stereotypes keep you or hold you back from being open to the vocation. Pursue it, and pursue it with fidelity and always with prayer.
Amen. Amen.
And I would echo that. I would say fears will always be there. Acknowledge those, but also acknowledge the grace of God that is active in your life in placing that call.
Amen. And Father, if you could offer us a prayer in closing.
Certainly. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
May Almighty God bless you all this day, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You've been listening to Faith in Action, underwritten in part by Marian University and by Franciscan St. Francis Health. If you'd like to suggest a guest or a topic for a future program, call us at 317-870-8400 or email mj@catholicradioindy.org. And remember, you can hear or download this program or any Faith in Action program 24/7 at catholicradioindy.org. Just click on the Programming tab and select Podcasts.